Blog Talk Radio.
Lawrence F. Wright of Greater Harvest Church International, and Greater is in You. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Greater Harvest Church International, where we seek to share God's Word on a daily basis. Now, today's topic, sin of my father visiting me and mine. Woo! That's some serious right there. Have you ever wondered how in every generation there seems to be a rebel in your family, a so-called black sheep, an alcoholic, a family member that's always broke, a family member that stays locked up? We all got them. We all have people within our family that, for whatever reason, they just seem to not act right. Well, there's a reason behind that, and there's a spiritual reason behind that, and we're going to investigate that. But before we go any further, I like to go into the Word. I like to go into prayer, like I always do, and then we'll dive right into it. So our God and Heavenly Father, right now in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, thank you for this broadcast. Thank you, God, for giving me the ability and giving Greater Harvest Church and Greater is in You the ability to reach the world with Your matchless, undivided Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for every person that is going to hear this broadcast, that it is of You and not of myself. Thank You, Father, that I may decrease and that the Word that You have in me comes out and that it increases. In the name of Your Son, Christ Jesus, we thank You and we praise Your holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, like I said before, today's broadcast is Sins of My Father Visiting Me in Mine. Now, I know in life things happen, or and it seems like it's a never-ending battle or a never-ending story. Some people go through life and never experience anything. Oddly enough, I would say, but it does happen, but I would say that oddly enough. But on most of the occasions in our lives, we are dealing with some type of ancestral curse. So we're going to go right into the Word of God, and we're going to find out more about this. Amen? Amen. So if you would turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and in verse 9, and I read, "You shall not bow down to them. You shall not serve them. For I, Yahweh, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the guilt of fathers upon their children and upon the third and upon the fourth generation of those hating me." Stop. That's serious, but there's a reason behind that. And before I can go any further in that, we first need to go up in the scripture to see exactly what God was talking about, because there's a reason why God said what he said. Amen. And a lot of times we don't understand why things are going on in our lives, why little Johnny or little Billy or little Ann or Shaniqua or Keisha or any other child seems to just not want to do right. You know what I mean? There's a reason. Okay? So, excuse me, I had to sneeze. Sorry about that. Let's go up to the beginning of chapter 5, Deuteronomy chapter 5, and in verse 1. And I will read, for a matter of fact, I'm going to go to the English Standard Version of the Bible. I'm actually reading out of the Lexham English Bible. Let me go into the English Standard Version of the Bible. All right? And Moses, verse 1 of chapter 5 of Deuteronomy. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear ye, O Israel, the statute and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb." Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. "The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain, out of the midst of the fire, while I stood between the Lord and you at that time, to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up into the mountain. And God said," and he said, verse 6, "I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Verse 7, "You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." My God, my God. You see that? Now, the whole reason behind this, Moses called all the people together. And I know what you're going to say, but hold your thoughts until after the music break, and I'll hit on that point that you're thinking about right now. I already know what you're thinking, okay? But Moses called the people together, and he conveyed what God wanted the people to know and to hear. First thing God said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Letting them know it wasn't Moses, by way of Moses, but God was the one that was the author and the instigator and had the power and authority to bring the people out of Israel out of the house of slavery. God then goes on to say to the people, you shall have no other gods before me. No other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. I'm going to let you think on that for a minute, and we're going to go to a music break. Amen? Amen. Now, I know you're probably wondering, how is this so? How is this so that you could be committing adultery, idolatry? Because that's what it is. I apologize. We were muted for whatever reason, and I lost a lot of time. But I'm going to tell you, this is what's going on. God says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall not have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image. So there are people that make carved images in the likeness of things in heaven above and from earth or from the water underneath. You shall not bow down, worship them, praise them, honor them. For God says, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity. And as I said before, that word iniquity means moral or grossly unfair behavior. And he's going to visit those that do that because you have shown that you hate God. And he's going to not only visit the fathers, the children, to the third and fourth generation of those who perform those acts. This is serious. This is serious. Now, yes, Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. He didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. The law is still in effect, people, boys and girls, men and women. The law is still in effect, but God says, if you do these things, if you put anything before me, you have just committed idolatry. And on top of that, it shows that you hate God, and God says that he's a jealous God. So in return, what he does is he does a little visiting. And when God visits, you know how we say, God, come on in this room. We usher you in, Father. You don't want this type of visit from the Lord because he's getting ready to do some things. He's getting ready to shake your foundation. The third and fourth that God is describing limits a person to their natural life. Okay? And it is referring to a perpetual curse. It is a punishment that extends only as long as the descendants of the guilty are conceivably alive. Let me repeat that. It is a perpetual generational curse. It is a punishment that extends as long as the descendants of the guilty are conceivably alive that hate him. How can you even say that you hate him? Because you've put something before God. Then on top of that, you've carved out an image. The word of God says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. Then there are other places where it says the people have hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Okay? So they've carved out these images, these systems, their own theology, their own ideals and ideology of what a God is or should be. And what they've actually done is basically carved out an image or what have you to co-sign their mess that they're already doing, okay? And in the process, what you end up doing is cursing your children's children's children. Children. That's serious, people. That's serious business. So, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, NFL fans around the world, I want you to know that if you have placed anything before God, You have time to repent because of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. It is because of Jesus Christ that we are no longer at war or at enmity with God. It is because of Jesus Christ that we have the opportunity to be called a son of God and no longer a slave or a servant. It is because of Jesus Christ that we now have life. And we have liberty, and we will have eternal life. But before Christ had returned, before Christ had came the first time, that was the consequence. Those are still the consequences because Christ came to fulfill the law, not to do away with it. Amen? So brothers and sisters, boys and girls, NFL fans around the world, I want you to know that as you, as being the head of your household, whether you're a male or female, if you have placed anything before God, you are committing an act of rebellion, and it shows to God that you hate him. After he has pulled you out of Egypt, after he has pulled you out of the mess and the muck and the mire, it is our reasonable service, brothers and sisters, to do what is right. I can't tell you what to do, but I tell you this much, and I advise you to repent. To repent and call on the name of the Lord, recognize and acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believe that God raised him on the third day and that you call him Lord, and you shall be saved, Romans 10:9-10. And that curse is then broken. Then you have to do the building process of making sure that your children know of God and your children's children know of God and that those kids know of God and what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. It's just that simple, brothers and sisters. Well, my time is up. I got to get out of here. But I want you to know you can break that generational right here, right now, by calling on the name of the Lord, by repeating Romans 10:9-10. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. I love you. God bless you. Be encouraged. And most of all, be God strong. Y'all be blessed. Peace.
Both my chains to come and I know, yeah.